I'm Chris Parks.
And this is Stacey Linfer.
And this is your Nishna Valley here, the weekend of June 13th and 14th. And, well, I guess unless you have a paddle, maybe you're not doing a whole lot.
Yeah, well, we actually have races this weekend, so I think mud races. So I think we'll be doing pretty good on that.
Yeah, but there should be plenty of mud.
Yeah, so I don't think they'll have to wet down the track this time.
Not at all. No, we certainly have had our fair share of rain here in the area, and of course, you know, some areas worse than others. Here in Atlantic, I know the last couple of days, the end of the work week, we picked up just about 2¾ inches of rainfall here at the studios, and plenty of reports of a lot of people getting a lot more than that, mm-hmm. and of course, that leads to a lot of issues. with, of course, activities being canceled. Well, we're used to that by now. I think the folks with Little League, what have they played? Maybe a couple of games?
I know, maybe twice or something. Yeah, it seems like every day they're calling in to cancel.
Yeah.
I actually found a picture, what was it, from June 24, 2013, with all the rain that we had. I don't know if you remember, when the fields got flooded so mm-hmm. bad, the cars were flooded and it was up to the top of the fence. Mm-hmm. So it was almost about 2 years ago, right on the, you know, just a week and a half apart, but...
Yeah, I guess. Well, yeah, I guess we should be ready for it.
Yeah, at least it wasn't that bad again.
Yeah, it hasn't been that bad yet, and we haven't had situations where people are actually in what you would call a flood, but I'm sure there's people that live in certain areas that if things don't drain well, then you're going to end up with some water maybe in your home or in an outbuilding, whatever the case may be, and I know that's not a lot of fun to deal with, and I think everybody's been down that road before once or twice.
Yes, unfortunately.
I recently, with the first round of rain we started to have, I had a little bit of issue with some water getting into the basement. It wasn't a big deal. It was just a little bit. But even that, you know, doesn't make you happy.
No, it does not. The cleanup is not fun. And
oh, man, this is wet.
Yeah.
Now I got to clean this. Now I got to try to make it not smell down here anymore.
Yeah.
And yeah, that it just becomes a recurring problem. And, of course, if you don't do something about it, then you're really going to have some problems, too.
Yeah.
Because that mold and mildew stuff can be pretty nasty
yes.
if you don't take care of it. Well, I was browsing around and looked at some things talking about both gardening and then also maybe just around your house and things that you can do to deal with stormwater or issues that you can do dealing with the garden, of course, because, well, it's a problem for farmers to get the crops in the first place this year. And then the same thing, I think, goes for a lot of gardeners. You didn't really get a chance to put much in the ground maybe when you wanted to because it was wet and it was cold.
Mm-hmm.
Things then got warmer, but then it just kept raining. So maybe you never got anything
never
done.
Break.
I know I didn't do much this year just because of the way things worked out. Of course, I've got a new infant as well. That always
yeah, it's hard to juggle a lot of other things when you have...
puts a damper in your time frames. But yeah, the wet weather, I think there's a lot of people that just maybe either didn't or they're just waiting until late, you know, like... Let the stores keep taking care of them on the rack until I can go get them and put them in the ground. Because I think a lot of things, like especially like tomato plants, they've probably been doing nothing because they've just been sitting there wet or cold, and they want warm, dry weather. So that really hasn't happened much yet. But if you do run into those issues where your garden maybe is a little bit too wet and you're seeing that moisture start to pool up in other areas, some things that you can do. This was from the folks at thegardenersrake.com. I don't know how reputable they are, but they look like they had some good ideas. They had an idea of putting poles into the ground about an inch and a half deep, and then or a foot and a half deep, and then buy some plastic pipe that you can bend over those rows so that you can kind of create your own little tunnel type of situation.
Okay.
So you can just go throw that plastic out over top of the garden when you need to, rather than trying to work out how you're going to drape it over the crops. Never thought of that before.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's people that have done that. And then they also like to use clear plastic, they said, obviously, so then you can still enjoy the benefits of sunshine. And they can clamp the plastic in place as well. They said that they have their garden set up to do that. They say it sounds like a lot of work, but if it saves your gardens and crops, then hey, maybe it's worth it. And then also, if you have some heavy rain forecast and your soil is already saturated, they suggest maybe putting some small handheld trenches to help direct the water away. Or you can also lay down boards or rocks to redirect the water. So if you have some problem areas, maybe just digging a small trench will get that out of there. If you have a few more crops to put in, you might consider planting them in containers so that they can be moved in from the rain. So maybe that's an easier solution for you. Also, some corrections that they mentioned that you can do for next year's garden, because course, already you're stuck in where you're at now if you're changing
can't
much.
Really do too much more.
But they say that adding mulch to your soil really can help, because the more that the soil is aerated, the better it's going to drain. Of course, the more you're going to have to worry about watering it regularly when it's dry, too.
True, that's true.
But that's something maybe you can do. Use raised beds. They say that raised beds drain and dry out a lot faster, and they're easier to add those pipe and plastic to as well. So something that you could think about. And also, preparing your bed so that they can be covered easily. They talked about that. They mentioned that they also will extend your growing season, and they found that it also helps to deter some of those small pests as well. Just having those poles and things out there is maybe a little bit of a deterrent to them. Mm-hmm. And then also add mulch around the area also, not just in the soil. That good drainage could help out and add more nutrients for the plants as well. And then if they mentioned some signs, of course, for your too much water for your plants, and most of these are pretty easy to figure out. Yellowing leaves, wilting leaves, stunted growth, poor crop production, and in the worst cases, those plants are just dead. So you figured that out.
Or you just don't have that green thumb.
And this actually was from a couple of years ago that they mentioned it, like you're talking about. And they had the same situation. They said they actually started out in some dry drought conditions this spring, and now we have too much rain, and the forecast looks bleak. So that's kind of what's going on right now here as well. So those are some interesting tips. And not only just in the garden, but maybe around your house as well. And this is kind of interesting. I didn't think about a lot of these things. This is from the folks at This Old House, which, of course, is a very reputable mm-hmm. source. Folks have known that organization for a long time. Some things that maybe you can do in around your home if you have drainage issues and you have some natural sloping areas where maybe that water is running. Maybe you just want to turn that area into more of a natural waterway to let that water run off and then just kind of become part of your landscape. One of the things that they mentioned is called a river of rocks. So it's actually kind of just creating a little bit of a drainage swale that's almost looks like a dry creek bed or something more for most of the year. And then when it does rain and pool up, then hey, you got a little stream going on.
Yeah.
So okay, maybe that's nice.
You got a free water feature.
Yeah. And they mentioned too that you can add underneath that type of an area some perforated pipes that maybe will send that water then exactly where you want it to down the road if you put that rock on top of it. And then they also mentioned just swales themselves. So what those are depressions that follow the contour around the base of a slope, channeling storm water from one runoff along the way by allowing it to sink into the soil, and plants on a swale's gently sloping banks, and sometimes down the center of this will take a lot of water up, so they'll help things out. And then, of course, fast-draining soil would also be key to lay down in there. So you might just create some of those types of areas where it's just going to kind of soak up the water more so than get rid of it. And that includes a lot of different types of plants. You're seeing different things from grasses to bushes, those types of things that can help alleviate that problem. And they say that if water is sinking in really well, where drainage is slower, they suggest that you replace the soil with 60% compost, and the swale itself can be made big enough to help out excavating another 6 to 8 inches and lining the trench with some type of filtration. So some top off with some gravel or something like that in between might help the drainage issues. They also talk about, of course, rain gardens, which is kind of the same idea. Just catch basins planted as flower beds. Rain gardens allow water to pool during a downpour, and then they slowly percolate and travel that water downstream. And it could be just a destination area, so it's something that you get the kind of plants that are appropriate for that type of wet situation and just stick them all together. And, hey, you've got yourself a little patch that is a rain garden. And the other upside to that, you don't have to mow it.
Yeah, I like that.
And they say that, of course, you have to make sure that you're doing some proper calculations as well. You can learn by experimenting, but, of course, after a storm, you need to kind of monitor those things so you're seeing how they're working and then adjust from there. And locate a rain garden at least 10 feet from your house and a septic system or a steep slope so that it's not creating pooling issues near those kinds of things that you don't want it to. So that's another idea there. And the other couple of things that they mentioned as well When you are planting those rain gardens, you want a wide, shallow basin with flat, level bottom and some gentle sloping. And they suggest using some mulch in there along with some berm stones or other things there to let that drain. And then, of course, the perennial plants on top to top it off. And then they mentioned, too, just a couple of things that maybe you've seen these types of things before, but they're talking about, you know, doing pervious paving. So you can make situations where you have little pavers that fit together to create kind of a pattern for, say, your driveway or your walkway out front to where that water can just run off and run through rather than run off the cement completely.
Right.
So it's not something where the water has nowhere to go and it may be creating some of your problems. They say that it's suitable for gentle inclines and other areas. Of course, flat areas are going to be fine. Anywhere that you would have previous concrete and asphalt would be good. They do ask, or they do suggest that maybe you seek the ideas of a professional if you're going to try to do something like this yourself, just to have an idea if this is going to work for your situation. And they also have some grid systems that are some DIY-friendly type of systems as well that can really help you get that type of thing set up. And a lot of communities and towns around the country are starting to do this thing to alleviate their problems with stormwater,
right,
filling up storm drains that much too. So you can do a lot of things there, and you can read up and learn from those folks. Once again, this is from This Old House, so you can check that out. Maybe that'll help you get some of your water issues taken care of. And well, we're going to have some more, probably.
Yay.
Supposed to be a wet weekend.
Is it? Oh, boy.
So that's a look at those little notes here for you. We'll take a look at some things that are happening around the Nishna Valley here for you as well, as there's plenty of events, as always, and the summer months always seem to pick things up and start mentioning a few things that are happening around the area. One thing that we'll throw out there that's actually happening here this weekend is the Exira Mason's annual Flag Day breakfast, and that's going on Sunday, June 14th. So if you're hearing us on Sunday morning, it'll be right after we're getting wrapped up, 8:30 a.m. until 12:30 p.m., and it's all you can eat for a free will donation. That is sponsored by the Exodus Masonic Lodge 342, and they're there to celebrate and honor Old Glory. So come out and have some breakfast there and enjoy. And also the Audubon County Fair folks, they've got figure eight races that are going on throughout the summer. They've got one that already has happened here this weekend, but they've got some more coming up on June 26th, July 10th, July 17th during the fair. And then on July 31st, they'll have a T-Bone special as well going on that weekend. Fireworks after the races as well. And rain date will be for Sunday, August 2nd. So if they need to move one of those, they'll move it back to that date. It's $7 for adults. Kids 12 and under are free. And the registration is at 5 o'clock, races at 7:30. And they will have food and beverages available at the grandstand. And they do have some payouts there as well. So that's a look at those events that are coming up there for folks up in the Audubon County area. I also did want to mention, too, later on this summer, the folks in Audubon, they'll be having their Burgers in the Park event at Albert the Bull Park. That's July 1st, also on August 5th and September 2nd. So that's kind of a recurring event, 6 to 7:30 on those dates that they'll have that. You can stop on down there in Audubon. And they mentioned, too, on this same list, and so I'll just kind of throw it out there with all the farmers markets in the area. The Audubon Farmers Market is June 4th through October. The east side of the Audubon City Square, 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. on those dates every Thursday. And also, of course, Thursdays here in Atlantic, 4:30 to 6:30 is the Produce in the Park event, which is a farmer's market style event with entertainment and children's activities as well. So that's going on throughout the summer, scheduled to go also through October. And then every Friday, the Exira Farmer's Market takes place on the east side of the city park. That's from 4 to 6 p.m. And there are other farmers markets happening around the Nishna Valley as well. I don't have that full list in front of me, but you can look those up and find out more information. I know Local Vore is another site you can check out to get some of that info. So something you can do. And, of course, those events are always kind of fun, maybe, for the family to come out for a while and spend a couple hours, eat some food, and get some good stuff.
Hopefully. Yeah, a little something for everybody.
Another thing I wanted to just mention real quick, this is in the past, but the Shelby County Historical Society was They recently hosted an unveiling at their museum to present their upgraded storage and preservation facility. They did that back on May 28th. It was a $100,000 project that began in October and November of 2014. It was completed in May, and it features some visible glass containers and shelving that offer climate control, fire prevention, and security for the 750 artifacts and documents that they have at the museum. So pretty cool upgrade for those folks. And I know they had a big event this past weekend where they had some folks out for some different events, but that'll be pretty cool, and especially for a a small facility like that to be able to have that preservation. Speaking of preservation, I know everybody's going nuts about hearing about the American Pickers folks going to be in the area. And it looks like they're just kind of swathing the whole area, you know. Right. They're going to hit southwest Iowa. I know everybody's been putting it out there. Oh, they're going to film in our town. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe they will, but they're going to find some places in southwest Iowa to come check out. Yeah. So it is cool. Maybe you know somebody that's going to fit the mold for them. I don't know how the production process works. I'm sure there's lots more involved than you would ever imagine.
But
get a hold of them if you think you've got a chance to be interested. And you never know. Like you said, we were talking about this before, that maybe you do get filmed and maybe it doesn't make the show, too.
Right.
I don't know how the cut room floor works on a show like that either. But probably the odds are if you do get filmed, maybe a little bit of that's going to make it into the show. But they are scheduled to start next month, and they're looking for leads. So, of course, you need to get those folks contacted. It's produced by Cineflix Productions for the History Channel, and their new episodes air Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock on the History Channel. And so if you have a large collection or if you want to refer somebody to Mike and Frank and the guys, you can email your name, number, address, and description of the collection and some photos to AmericanPickers@Cineflix.com. That's CINEFLIX.com. Or you can call 1-855-OLD-RUST. 1-855-OLD-RUST.
That's a nice, easy number to remember.
Yeah. And, of course, their business is antique archaeology. They're in LeClaire, Iowa, is where they're based out of. They also have a new store down in the south, too, I noticed on the show the other day. So they're kind of expanding their base. But it's could be neat stuff.
Yeah.
I mentioned that in contrast to preservation. This is stuff that you're not preserving.
Yeah.
It's stuck somewhere in a...
they want it old, yeah.
In a pile that's not going to be too taken care of. But maybe it'll be some good stuff good enough for them. It's always funny to watch the show and see what does catch their interest,
right.
You know? Because there's so much stuff in these places. I don't know how you, in your mind, decide, this is what I want to look at. But they sure seem to know what they're looking for. And they do mention some types of things that they really like, you know, like vintage bicycles, toys, old radios, movie memorabilia, advertising, military items, folk art, vintage musical equipment, automotive items, and early firefighting equipment and vintage clothing or Western gear as well. So that's some of the things specifically that they mentioned. But mm-hmm. you always see those weird things on the program, and some of them that you never even knew what they were. I mentioned to you the other day, I saw an episode of the show where they found it was an upright record player.
Oh, yeah.
It was a suitcase record player. So they said, this is the original version of the boombox you put on the shoulder and carry it down the street. And I don't know how the heck that thing would have worked, and I doubt it worked very well.
Right.
But,
or if your record came out back in one piece,
it had
to be pretty scratched up.
Yeah, no kidding. But it was pretty cool to see it, and the guy didn't even know how he got it, you know. It's like one of those things. And, you know, of course, that's the other side of it, too. You know, some of these people, I don't know how you start to accumulate so much stuff and how you find the places to put it, but I guess that's what happens to some folks.
Yeah, I hope I don't have that much to build up over the years.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I wouldn't know what to save and what to keep. Well, who knows what's going to be something valuable down the road.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing I think that's interesting is, of course, okay, these guys do it all the time.
Yeah.
They're out looking for this stuff. They know what stuff is worth just off the top of their head or mm-hmm. doing a little slight research. And, of course, they have people back at other places that help them
that.
But when they're out there on the site, how does the person that has accumulated all this stuff over the years have any remote idea of what some of this stuff is valued at?
Yeah.
You know, it's because it's like they start arguing about it. What should I have for it? And does the guy even know? Or is he just making something
just
up?
You know? Be knowledgeable about it and try to get the most out of it.
I mean, I'm sure they know a rough idea, of course, when they purchased it, and they probably people that have those kind of, you know, addictions and want to keep this stuff. They know a little bit about it, but to have that running tally in your mind, that's worth $200. No, it's $150. Okay, we're fine.
Deal.
I don't know. But anyways, it's interesting. And it'll be interesting to see if we get to see some folks from around the area that get to be on the program. So that's another thing that's happening here in the area. Just to mention a few other events as well. This is also similar to what I talked about previously, the Avoca Main Street Market. That's going on every Wednesday in downtown Avoca through September 28th, and that's 5 to 7 p.m., and they've got some special things on the schedule for different nights. On the 17th, after Father's Day, they're going to be doing a men's night, so there'll be gifts that are especially for dads, so kind of some fun ideas for some themes at that event. And they're also going to have a kind of a wine night on June 24th, a wine tasting from some local wineries at that one. So another market to check out in the area. Also coming up, the Harlan Class of 1975 40-year reunion is going on August the 8th. That's going to be at the Westside Banquet Room in downtown Harlan. And then the Harlan Community Athletic Booster Golf Annual Golf Tournament is on August the 9th, that same weekend. So there's a couple of things that are around the corner. And also the folks sponsored by the Oakland Manor and Heights will be doing their Run for the Rock or Walk.
Repeat that?
That's interesting. Run for the Rock or Walk. The second annual fun run, it's on July 4th. At Chautauqua Park in Oakland, Iowa. It's a 3K, 5K for the adult category and a 3K for the youth 12 and under. And they'll be having blue and red color stations throughout the run there as well. And you can get some cash prizes in those different categories. Also, you can help out Ben Krieger and his family of Walnut. They experienced a house fire on May 28th here in town at approximately 12:11 p.m. that day. The family and the dogs are safe, but the fire did destroy their kitchen and most of the upstairs. The entire house is covered in soot, and the smell of fire is embedded in everything that they own. They lost their home for a while and their belongings to the fire, but they didn't lose their friends and family. And you can let them know how much they mean to you by donating at Great Western Bank here in Atlantic. You can make the check payable to Ben Krieger and a note in the memo line, House Fire. And by the way, that last name is spelled K-R-U-E-R. G-E-R, and your donation will go directly to his family to cover any costs that they have that are not covered by insurance. And gift cards are also welcome here to area businesses. They would appreciate that. And you can send those to Ben's sister, Amy Krieger, at P.O. Box 246 Walnut, Iowa 51577. And for information on the news story, you can check out the story that we have on our website at kjn.com. So and they do mention here that donations to an individual are not tax deductible, so your generosity in spite of this means the world to them. So if you can help them out, please do so. So that's a few other events that are happening here in the area. We'll go ahead and take a quick break. When we come back, we'll take a look at the list of events we have here locally and then also finish off with your birthday and anniversary announcements. This is your Nishna Valley here on KJN.
A foot injury or chronic foot problem can make everyday life a lot tougher. Every step is painful. You don't feel like getting off the couch, putting on shoes, or living your life to the fullest. That's no way to live. That's why Cass County Health System is excited to welcome Dr. Roger Drown, a board-qualified podiatrist who joined the CCHS team on a full-time basis after caring for patients as a visiting specialist for 18 months. His practice includes outpatient and surgical care treatment of hammer toe, tendon repair, wound care, bunion removal, plantar fasciitis, and other podiatric needs. Dr. Drown can get you back on your feet and ready to dance the night away, or at least get you off the couch. To schedule an appointment with Dr. Drown, please call the CCMH Outpatient Clinics at 712-243-7590. Cass County Health System. Neighbors caring for neighbors.
And taking a look at some of the other events we have going on here in the Nishna Valley coming up, the Exira 150th 4th of July celebration will be going on June 28th through July 5th as they have all kinds of different events with the tractor show and ride on the 28th. And then on Thursday the 2nd, they'll start their carnival with a road run packet pickup and then the pancake feed. The road run will be on Friday, July 3rd. They'll have all kinds of things, a party in the park going on, carnival, street dancing, and the evening. And then on Saturday, there are foot races along with the beer garden, carnival, the parade, of course, which is a big attraction here in the area in Exira. And then they'll also have more activities with different competition type events here throughout the rest of the day there on Saturday. And then the grand fireworks display at the Spartan football field with concessions available. That's scheduled for 9:45 there on the 4th. And then they'll have a church service and coffee to wrap things up on July the 5th. Also, a Clover Kids Day Camp on Tuesday, June 16th, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Montgomery County Fairgrounds Gold Building. A day full of fun for all youth who have just completed kindergarten through third grades. They'll learn about insects, bugs, nature, and the environment, and much more. It's $15 per youth for that. You have some of the other events coming up here?
I do. Let's see here. On Sunday, it's Cruising the Islands in Griswold. That's on Sunday, June 14th. That starts at 2 p.m. on Main Street in Griswold. And there's cars, trucks, motorcycles, tractors, everything is welcome. And there's no fee. And there'll also be food and music and fun. And this is hosted by the Pieces and Dreams Car Club. So if you have any questions on that, you can contact Roger Rhodes at 778-4154. Again, it's the Cruising the Islands in Griswold on June 14th, and that starts at 2 p.m. right there on Main Street. Adams Road Ministry event, that's coming up on Monday, June 15th, is at the Evangelical Free Church of Atlantic at 7 p.m. Again, that's on Monday, June 15th. The event is free. That's Adams Road's Ministry event on June 15th at 7 p.m. Let's see. The 2015 Cass County Relay for Life is coming up June 19th. That will be held at the Atlantic High School track, and that is from 6 to 10 p.m. Again, it's on June 19th. So all area survivors are welcome to come out for a free meal at the high school commons when check-in begins at 4:30. And then the survivors will kick off relay with the opening lap at 6 p.m. They'll also have lots of entertainment, some education, kids' activities, food, and much more at Relay for Life. If you'd like to find out more or to donate, you can go online to relayforlife.org/CassCountyIA. They also have a Facebook page, Relay for Life, Cass County, Iowa. Again, it's the 2015 Cass County Relay for Life, Friday, June 19th, and all that takes place at the Atlantic High School track. A motorcyclist support and join the Windbags and UCC Relay for Life motorcycle team. That's on June 19th at 1 p.m. at the Atlantic City Park. And that's part of, you know, Relay for Life. It's an 80-mile run. It's just $25 per bike or vehicle. They'll have lots of different stops at the Exira City Park, Kimbleton Park, and Prairie Row State Park. And then they'll regroup at 4:30 at the Camlin Edition Shelter at Sunnyside Park in Atlantic. There they'll have some refreshments, which are donated by the United Church of Christ. And then they'll ride to the Atlantic High School to present their donations. And they'll also have an auction for a barn quilt, gift certificates, and other surprises. And if you do have something you'd like to donate, that would also be appreciated. Again, it's the Windbags and UCC Relay for Life motorcycle team. And that's on June 19th at 1 p.m. at the Atlantic City Park. And then they'll head back to the Atlantic High School when they get in and present their donations. The Audubon County Relay for Life is also on June 19th. That will be held in the John James Audubon City Park from 6 to 9 p.m. And they'll have great food and entertainment, a live auction, and much more. And they do ask that you bring your own lawn chair. Again, it's the Audubon County Relay for Life on June 19th. Also with Relay for Life, it's the Molly Relay for Life team. They're holding a tractor ride to benefit the American Cancer Society Relay for Life on June 19th. And participants are urged to meet at the Cass County Fairgrounds in Atlantic right at 8 a.m. The ride will travel through Wyota, Anita, also Anita State Park, and then to Cumberland. Then when they are in Cumberland, they'll stop for lunch and tour Dan's Welding. Then the riders will travel back to Atlantic. And a cost for the ride is they ask for a minimum donation of $25. You can sign up in advance by calling 243-3393, or you can also sign up the morning of the ride. Again, it's the Molly Relay for Life team's tractor ride on June 19th.
Let's look at some of those events that come up here in the area. I just want to mention real quick a couple of anniversaries over the weekend. On June 13th, it was a 67th wedding anniversary of Richard and Marianne Jesperson of Atlantic, and their daughter Jill and son-in-law Denny Brown from Nixon, Missouri. Wanted to wish them a happy anniversary. And a happy 40th anniversary on the 14th to Kenny and Charlotte Evans of Griswold, Iowa. This was coming out from Leah, Ryan, Katie, and families. And you have some birthdays to mention, too.
I got some birthdays over at the Salem Lutheran Home. We'd like to wish happy birthday to Muriel Peterson, celebrating his birthday on June 16th. Also to Adeline Cadell, celebrating her birthday on June 18th. Also like to wish happy birthday to Donald Stormer, who is celebrating his birthday on June 18th. And a happy birthday to Max Town, celebrating his birthday on June 19th. So happy birthday to everybody there at the Salem Lutheran Home. Over at the Exira Care Center, we'd like to wish happy birthday to Ruth Peppers, celebrating her birthday on June 17th, and also to Esther Forsman, celebrating her birthday on June 13th. So happy birthday to those folks there at the Exira Care Center.
All right. That's a look at what's happening here in the Nishna Valley, and well, we hope you stay dry here.
Yes.
I'm Chris Barks.
And this is Stacy Linfer.
And this has been your Nishna Valley.